Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Prospect Pod, powered by The Weekly Streamer. You can follow The Weekly Streamer on Instagram and Twitter at Weekly Streamer. And here's your host,
What's going on, everybody? This is Richard Hake, aka The Hawk, with The Prospect Pod, powered by the Weekly Streamer Network. We are back for another week with an awesome system breakdown of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Got to make sure that I add that in there. Got to get it for the folks of Anaheim. We are back, and we're going to be looking into this awesome system. I'm here with an awesome guest, Mr. Dave Dutton. Dodger Dave is what you know him as. But before I bring him in here, I do want to mention to you guys a little bit of housekeeping that we do. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Weekly Streamer. You can follow me directly on Instagram and Twitter at MustBeTheHawk. Of course, all of the awesome stuff that we have going on is available on Facebook on the private and public page. Tons of great contacts. Communications, all sorts of different things going on over there at Facebook. It's a great time. As well as our Patreon page, we have all of our great articles, write-ups, just like the system that we're going to be talking about today. We post 1 through 5 on Facebook, 1 through 10 write-ups. You're only going to find that on Patreon. And 1 through 30 in terms of the rankings of those prospects, all available on Patreon there. You get great tools to be able to help you guys. 500 dynasty rankings, 600 plus prospect rankings, first year player draft breakdowns. And we're adding each and every one of these 1 through 30 write-ups on tabs on those prospect breakdowns. So it's an awesome tool to be able to have. As low as $5 a month gets you all that. It is an awesome tool, guys. So make sure you check that out. If you're watching us on YouTube or on Facebook right now, hi, how you doing? And you'll be noticing that I am wearing this awesome Pitching Ninja shirt. It is a limited edition shirt that's going on right now with the folks over at RotoWear. It is a Pitching Ninja t-shirt for Emily's Fight. This is a person in the industry that we are very, very, inspired by. Emily Walden, she's a great writer, usually covers the Detroit Tigers farm system. And the folks over at RotoWire and Pitching Ninja have teamed up to be able to create this shirt, and all the net proceeds will be going towards Emily Walden and her support for breast cancer awareness and moving forward with that. So our thoughts and prayers are out there for Emily Walden, and we're going to be supporting her all on the way. I already plan to be wearing this every time that I pod, so get used to it. It's going to be great, right? Anyway, I do want to get here into the episode and introduce my awesome guest, Mr. Dodger Dave Dutton is what you know him from. He's on the Full Count Pod all the time. Great fantasy advice. If you don't listen to that, please do. Welcome to the show, Dodger Dave. How you doing?
Great, Rick. How you doing, man?
Oh, man. I feel long-winded, but I'm doing great.
Long-winded is good.
That's right.
In today's world, where a lot of people, are dealing with being sick with COVID and having a hard time breathing. Long-winded is a blessing. So.
Oh my gosh, I know. I'm just bringing whatever I can to the table for them. So
absolutely,
that's what it is. Dave, you ended up doing the Los Angeles Angels system breakdown, and being a Dodger fan, you had to look on. You're repping your Dodgers hat. Couldn't leave that out for sure. But you had to do this write-up here for us with the Weekly Streamer. And I want to kind of get your ideas of where you feel, as a whole, the whole system is and the direction that they're going. What do you think about the Los Angeles Angels while you were doing this write-up?
Okay, so first of all, I've got to clear the air on something. So as someone that lived in Los Angeles and for 36 years and has been a Dodger fan now for over 40, I want to clarify where the Angels are located. The Angels are not Los Angeles. The Angels are Anaheim. They are Orange County. Artie Moreno, he's a businessman, and I respect him for that. And he wanted to rep LA and make his franchise worth more money. But let's be real, the Angels play in Anaheim, which is 30 miles south down I-5 from Dodger Stadium. So just want to make sure that we understand that they are the Anaheim or the Orange County Angels, not the Los Angeles Angels. This is Los Angeles. So where are the Angels? Where's the Angels system? The Angels have recently graduated a lot of talent. We've seen Joe Adell come up. We've seen Marsh come up. We've seen Reed Detmers. We've seen Sandoval. I mean, several other players have come up through their system recently. But now at this point, their system is, it's one that is, let's call it rebuilding. It's a system that is very young. Not a whole lot of top-end talent, high-end talent. But, there is, surprisingly, some younger talent in the bottom, low A, high A, and even some double A talent that is on the rise. But definitely this is a system that I don't want to say it's been neglected, but it has borne a lot of fruit over the last few years. And it's going to take a few years for it to get back to being a top system. With that being said, though, there are some hidden gems down there that I'd like to discuss with you tonight.
Yeah. And
there's a few gems that came out of their draft from last year, a couple of them in particular that I want to highlight.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. I think we'll be able to get right on into it. And you're right. I mean, they're really kind of trying to restock that farm system. I was actually just talking with Matty Ballgame today a little bit about that. We were looking back on the trade of Zach Cozart, to the Giants. And, Will Wilson was a first round draft pick of them in 2019. He ended up going on over to San Francisco to unload that contract. So, it's hard whenever you're looking at some of these systems and some of their, first round draft picks are being moved. I know my New York Mets, we lost PCA, here just recently, being traded to Chicago. So you're right. I mean, it's a system that needs to be kind of rehauled a little bit, and it seems like they're going in that direction.
I agree. And another thing to keep in mind is kind of the running joke, I guess. Well, one of the running jokes in baseball is the Angels badly need pitching at the major league level. They've struggled to find and retain quality starting pitching. So it was really apparent, the new GM, Perry Manassian, this year, went into the draft, and with his 20 picks, he selected 20 pitchers. So, you can definitely tell where their mind is at. You can definitely tell where they're focused on, and they're definitely looking to build up the pitching depth through the entire organization.
Yeah, no, it seems pretty apparent. That's going to be interesting to watch over the next couple of years. Now, Dave, we're going to go ahead. We're going to jump into your system here. Your first prospect that you had here at the top, I was pretty excited to see him here as well. Sam Bachman, he's a right-handed pitcher, 22 years old, 6'1", 235 pounds. He was taken in the first round of the 2021 draft by the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim with the 9th overall pick. What can you tell me about Sam Bachman?
So, you know, it's rare. And I guess I don't want to be too much of a Debbie Downer about the system, but it is rare when a team's first round pick from that year's draft instantly jumps up to their top prospect. I do, however, believe that there's a lot to like here. You know, he's a three-pitch pitcher. He's very strong. His fastball has been graded at his fastball sits at in the 94 to 97 range, but it's topped out at over 100 miles an hour. Scouts graded at least a 70 grade fastball, but there's also been some scouts that let's call it wishing upon a star or being very ambitious that have graded it as an 80 grade pitch. I mean, he really has a dynamite fastball. And he also, along with that fastball, he has a really filthy slider. It's a really tight slider, which just completely drops off the table and, you know, really helps to induce ground balls and really keep him, you know, untouchable. He's working on a changeup. At this point, it's just an average changeup, but he's getting better with it. And really, you know, the strength not necessarily lies in the strikeouts. I mean, he definitely, you know, gets his fair share of strikeouts, but he, you know, his strength is really in his ground is in the way he induces ground balls. One of the things he's going to have to work on, and so far has been I wouldn't say his undoing, because he's been very successful, but he tends to get his pitch count too high. It's not so much that he doesn't have command, but he throws too many balls and his pitch count just gets up too high and he ends up, you know, having very short starts. Throughout his college career, he averaged less than 5 innings per start. And so far, you know, last year in high A, he averaged less than 3 innings per start. So he needs to improve that for sure. The Angels would definitely like to see him, you know, go out and throw quality starts and throw minimum six inning starts. Another great thing about Bachman is let's call him what he is. He's a bulldog. He's a competitor. The Angels really like his makeup, and they think that's really going to help him as he continues to advance through the system. You know, only time will tell. I mean, in my opinion, he has the floor of a high leverage, you know, seventh, eighth, or ninth inning reliever, possibly even a right-handed version of Josh Hader. But at the same time, he has the ceiling of a mid rotation and possibly higher starter. And the Angels are definitely, you know, they took him with the 9th overall pick, and they definitely want to, you know, do everything they can to get him there.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. And, you know, it's interesting whenever you see these high velocity, you know, pitchers here with their fastballs and then working into a mid to high 80s type of slider, a little bit of a sharp bite to it. You're able to get a lot of swing and miss off of it. I mean, looking here, you know, some of what they were saying was, you know, he averaged about a 4.1 walks per 9 during college, his first 2 seasons of college. And, you know, looking at the release point, like they were saying, it's a little bit of a low 3/4 arm slot release. And a lot of times that does contribute to a little bit of walking issues, because sometimes it's a hard arm slot to be able to repeat. So, you know, you're right. Time will kind of tell how that works. His walks per 9 went down once he did become a pro, but I'm curious to see if that's going to carry over into a full season, because one thing that kind of plagued him a lot in college was tired arm, you know? So, you know, exactly with what you're saying, if he wasn't going deep into games, he's getting tired arm, you know, and you know, the profile of being, you know, 6'1" already doesn't really play into his favor of a starter long-term if you're just looking at build-wise. Now, it happens all the time that you have some of the smaller, you know, pitchers be able to go out there, but I think that that's a wonderful way to be able to kind of put it, you know, and I don't think that anybody should be deterred by that. You know, with that being said, I mean, Dave, you and I both know we did the 2020 draft, and I believe Burrell Caraway was in that draft as well. He was being, you know, projected as, you know, the probably the first one to make the major leagues. I remember that's what it was. He will be the first one up in the major leagues of this whole draft class. He will be a relief pitcher, and that'll be that. Crochet made it before him. Detmers made it before him in that same draft class. And just to say that Bachman, you know, if he's not a starting pitcher, it's a failure. Like you said, I mean, this guy could be an elite back end type of guy. And there's a lot of value to be had in that, whether you're in a shallower league or in some of these bigger dynasty leagues, like 20, 30 team leagues. Bachman is a really good commodity to be able to have.
I agree. I mean, he has two elite pitches. His fastball and his slider are elite. His changeup is coming along. And that's, you know, whether he can get that third changeup pitch to a higher level and also improve his command, which will take him further into games, is ultimately what's going to, you know, determine his future in the big leagues. And the Angels really think that they see something, and they really think that they can do this with him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I could see that full force there. Yeah, I'm going to move on here to your next prospect that you have on here. And I was excited to see this. Kyrene Paris, he's a shortstop, 20 years old, 6 foot, 165 pounds. He was taken in the second round of the 2019 draft by the Angels with the 55th overall pick. What can you tell me about Kyrene Paris?
So a lot of people, when you look at Kyrene Paris, you think to yourself, there's probably other more well-known prospects that should be up here in this number two spot for the Angels. However, it's, again, like we talked about, a lot of these, you know, this farm system is not necessarily going to be providing, you know, high-end talent for a couple of years to the big league team. But what you get with Kyrene Paris is you get a guy who, you know, has shown some really good ability with the bat. He's showing, you know, solid gap to gap power, which, you know, right now he's kind of a frail 165 pounds, but he's also very young and he's working hard. And the hope is that he can grow into 12 to 16 home runs per year. But the other thing is you're getting a guy with 35 to 40 stolen bases per season on average. You're getting a guy that's capable of that. And you're also getting a guy, that is going to, you know, he's gonna stick. I mean, the Angels definitely look at him as either their shortstop or at worst their second baseman of the future. For a 20-year-old, he's gonna start the season this year at High A Tri-City, and he should definitely reach Double A at some point this season. So lots of like here, a lot of potential. You know, really good hit tool with this young man, and you know, I don't want to say the sky's the limit, because it's not, but there's a lot of potential here.
Yeah, there really is. And you know what kind of sparked my interest a little bit, I wanted to look a little bit deeper into these numbers. He ended up stealing 22 total bases. He was only caught 4 times. So, you know, 26 attempts, he stole 22 bases. That's a good rate. That's what you want to see, you know. And he struggled a little bit whenever he got called up to High A, but we got to remember he is 20 years old, and you're right. I mean, you look at these OBP numbers. I mean, they're pretty fantastic, even with the short sample size that he was able to do there. I mean, low A of 29 games, he had a 434 OBP. You know, 274 average, a 491 slug. There's not much power in this bat at all. Just from the standpoint of, you know, what his double projection was. Now, I will say this. You can see that there's speed right there in terms of what he can leg out on triples. So we saw 7 triples from him this season, which was fantastic. So you're seeing a little bit of that gap to gap power, you know, and I think that he can be able to develop maybe into 10 to 15 homer bat, you know, as his body matures. But he's going to be a little bit on the smaller side just in general, but stolen base wise, good average, good OBP. I like Kyrene Paris a lot. I think that this is a great target for some of these deeper dynasty leagues. So I'm all in on Kyrene Paris there.
Yeah, what Kyrene Paris has in my mind has the potential. The reason I ranked him so high, I think he has the potential to possibly be like a Brandon Nimmo type player. You know, the high OBP, you know, maybe even a better stolen base rate than Nimmo. But he's probably going to hit the, you know, 15 home runs a year or so that Nimmo's going to hit and get on base. You know, he's going to be a really good number one or number two hitter in the Angels lineup. And the other thing with the Angels is they don't have a great option at shortstop in the big leagues currently. So his path is not blocked. So that was another thing that came into why I ranked him where I did with this.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's good looking out. Moving on here to your number three prospect that you have here in your system breakdown, Jeremiah Jackson. He's a shortstop, 21 years old, 6 foot, 165, taken in the second round of 2018 by the Angels, 57th overall. What can you tell me about Jeremiah Jackson?
Jeremiah Jackson. Well, so he was taken in 2018 draft. There was a guy that you guys might have heard of that came out of the Alabama prep ranks, and it was taken back in 1982. Guy by the name of Bo Jackson. You may remember.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to be like Bo. Or
you don't know Bo.
You don't know Bo. That's right. Thank you.
You don't know Bo.
So he is the first middle infielder taken out of the Alabama prep ranks since 1982 is Bo Jackson. This is a young man that gets literally every ounce out of his 165 pounds. Prodigious power. Just a phenomenal talk about bat speed and torque. I mean, he just gets everything out of his swing. A guy that's, 6 foot tall, razor thin at 165 pounds. But he set the rookie league record in the Pioneer League with 23 home runs in the 2019 season. With that though, there's a lot of, it's a very long swing. It's a very, very fast and, a very fast and long swing, but you get the high K rate as well. So, a lot to like here. Big swing, that they can definitely work with him on, and the power is real for sure. But I guess the caution I'm going to give you on him is if they shorten up his swing and they tone his swing down a little bit, he may lose some of the power. So he may not be the 30 to 35 home run bat that the Angels would like him to be. This could be, you could be looking at anything from a Adam Dunn type player to maybe a 15 to 20 home run, 260 to 270, Adam Eaton type of player. Very good arm, solid defender. He definitely has the agility, the footwork, and the makeup to stick at either of the middle infield positions. And they're also talking about, putting him out in center field. But there's a guy in Anaheim that's currently manning center field that may not move aside for him to get his opportunity in center field. Guy by the name of Mike Trout. I can see him definitely getting to the big leagues at some point. It's just, only time will tell what is going to become of this young man, whether he's going to continue to have a long swing and be a three true outcome player, or if he's going to shorten up the swing and go for more of the average and a little bit less power.
Yeah, no, it's interesting looking at this slash line from this year. Primarily done here at, I believe it was at low A this year. 277 average, 358 OBP, 548 slug. He had 10 home runs. He had 28 extra base hits, 13 stolen bases. I mean, that is extremely strong. Another thing that I really do like that I was taking a look at here, Dave, while you were talking about this, he raised his walk rate this year quite a bit, actually. He ended up raising it from what was previously an 8.2% walk rate up to a 12.2% walk rate. So you love seeing that. You know, the strikeouts, they're going to be there. It's a part of the profile. It's already over 30% strikeout rate to this point in his minor league career. But just like you said, he is getting every single ounce that he can out of that frame. And it's on full display. Jeremiah Jackson is a very interesting guy to be able to keep your eye on, you know, in these dynasty leagues. And, you know, I'd really inquire about it because a lot of folks give the Angel discount. And if you're not, you know, Joe Adele or Marsh, you know, you kind of be able to talk that down a little bit, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree. And he's still young enough that you just never know what he could develop into. I mean, he's 165 pounds right now. What's to say he doesn't put on 15 pounds of muscle over the next 2 years and turn into a completely, different kind of player? Maybe he shortens that swing, but he can still hit 25 home runs because he's stronger now at this point. But it lowers the K rate and is making better contact. That's a lot of ifs. You never know, but there's definitely a lot to dream on here, and we'll see what happens. He's probably going to see Double A this year, and he's going to see the more advanced pitching. Be interesting to see how he holds up to the advanced pitching in the higher levels of the minor leagues.
Yeah, I'm with you on there. All right, moving on to your next prospect that you have here. You have Kai Bush. He's a left-handed pitcher, 22 years old, 6'6", 240 pounds. He's a big boy. Picked in the second round of the 2021 draft, 45th overall by the Angels. What can you tell me about Kai Bush, Dave?
Big old country boy. So
yeah.
Came out of St. Mary's. There's one of my current players that I like a lot, Tony Gonsolin, the Catman, that also came out of St. Mary's. So the Angels took him with their second pick, the second of 20 pitchers selected in the 2021 draft. He's a massive man. I mean, he's a really big guy, 6'6", 240 pounds. With his size, I mean, he definitely, I'm not going to say he's Randy Johnson intimidating, but he's a big kid. And, you know, you look at him and it's like, oof, man, he's going to hurt me. his fastball sits, 94 to 96. It can touch 98 on occasion. It's thrown very over the top. So I think, the fact that he's coming over the top with it sends it on a downhill plane, which makes him even all the more, using his height all the more to his advantage. It's a very heavy fastball. And I think that it's a really good swing and miss pitch. He also throws a plus slider that has top to bottom break. And the great thing about it is it comes out of the exact same arm angle as his fastball, which makes it very deceptive and really tough for the hitters to square up. One of the challenges that Bush has is he's currently just a two-pitch pitcher. He's working on his curveball. And he's trying to develop his changeup as well. This is ultimately what's going to make or break him as far as, being a starting pitcher or ultimately having that reliever tag put upon him. If he can develop a third pitch, he'll be a starter. If he can't, then it's real simple. He's going to end up back in the pen. So I like the upside here. I'm not saying to go out and grab him up everywhere because he's got to prove it. But if you want a good, if you want to go stash somebody, that you can get as a throw-in in a deal or basically you could probably find him at this point, I'm guessing, on many waiver wires. He might be worth a stash because if he can unlock either that curveball or that changeup to be at least an average or hopefully an above average pitch, he could be something good.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, I'm looking at his Fangraph page on here, 15 K per nine with what he was able to do. That's amazing. 15 K per nine. I mean, 3.75 walks per nine. It's not great, but it's not bad either. For somebody who's going to kind of work with the command a little bit, you know, it's kind of to be expected there. So I think Bush is a very good target here for a lot of folks. And you're right. I mean, you can probably get him relatively cheap at this point, which is always something I like to try to look into. Now, Dave, moving on to your fifth prospect that you have here, Alexander Ramirez. He's an outfielder, 19 years old, 6'2", 180 pounds. He was signed in 2018 by the Angels. What can you tell me about Alex Ramirez?
Well, let me just say this. If I was going to, you know, if I'm looking at the system, I think the sure bet is obviously, you know, Bachman. A lot of people still like a guy that we're going to talk about here in a couple picks. You know, that's kind of, in my mind, has lost a lot of his luster. But this prospect right here is really young, and he's still several years away. But in my mind, given the fact that he's so young and given the fact that he has a lot of physical tools and a lot of, you know, a prototypical projectable type body, this is probably the prospect that I think I'm most excited about in this system. He is, you know, 6'3", 210 pounds. So he's a big kid. He's got the frame, he's got the size, he's got the muscle, and he's young enough that he can still put on more muscle and get even stronger. The Angels believe that Ramirez has the most raw power of any prospect in their system. He barrels the ball to all fields, and he has some of the best exit velocities in the entire system. The one thing he has to focus on is, like many young power hitters and just young players in general, he's got a long swing, so he needs to improve there. He definitely can use some work identifying the off speed and the breaking pitches, which he's definitely going to get a steady diet of as he continues to you know, pitch in the state or pitch, excuse me, see some of the professional pitchers in the States. But I think ultimately he's young enough and he's coachable enough and he's big and strong. And I think they can get that K rate down. And I think this is probably the prospect that I think I'm most excited about in this system. Years away, probably you're not going to see him in Anaheim for at least another 3 years. But, you know, huge potential with this kid. And this is definitely someone that I'm stashing. You can get him. He's relatively unknown. And you can get him and stash him away now for basically nothing. So he's got the floor, in my opinion, of a, you know, fourth outfielder, but he's got the ceiling of a middle of the order, you know, slugger at the big league level. So very big upside here.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You look at, you know, his numbers to this point, 9% walk rate, 14.3%, 8.6%. He's probably going to sit in that, you know, 8.5 to 10% walk range, which is indicative of what we're seeing with his OBP numbers, you know, in the minor leagues to this point. So, you know, you couple that OBP with the power output that he's able to have, and you're right, the exit velocities are absolutely through the roof. He's a very pull-happy hitter at the plate. But, you know, that can, you know, really kind of work its way in, you know, as he continues to move up when situational hitting and everything along that line. I really, really like the profile that's here with Alexander Ramirez. I think you're right. I think he's a very high upside bat that is in this system. And I'll be excited to see what he does going forward.
You know, really small sample size here, but you look at his 2021 at the Rookie League Complex in Arizona. He had 16 extra base hits and 127 at bats. 27 RBIs and 127 at bats and 22 walks against, you know, strikeouts of 50. I mean, so the K rate's high, but you extrapolate those numbers over 600 at bats and you're looking at, the home runs are a little lacking, but still you're looking if you did that over 600 at bats, you'd have 75 extra base hits and close to 140 runs and 130 RBIs. And yes, it's rookie league ball, But there's just a lot to like. I mean, with that frame and just getting him here with major league coaching and in stateside, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited about this one. This is just part of it is a hunch, but from what I've seen with this kid, I mean, he looks like the real one.
Looks like the part. That's for sure. Well, Dave, what we're going to do here is we're going to take a quick break. Whenever we do get back, we're going to keep diving into your system breakdowns here for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Stay with us. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. We are breaking down the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And Dave has been awesome. He's been talking about all these different prospects that we've been talking about, five of them to this point. We're going to continue with 6 through 10. And we're going to start here with Errol Vera, shortstop, 19 years old, 6'2", 170 pounds. He's a switch hitter who was signed in 2019 by the Angels. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about Errol Vera.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a couple of trends you're going to see with the Angels is obviously we talked about their lack of pitching and what they're doing to address that, you know, drafting 20 pitchers and in with their 20 picks. But you're also going to see a trend where there's a lot of middle infield shortstop prospects, which I guess is a trend in baseball in general, but it's really pronounced with the Angels. And this is another one. So Vera came out of Venezuela. He was one of the top prospects coming out of Venezuela in the 2019 draft. The Angels gave him a really generous $2 million signing bonus. And they were really excited about it. Timing is everything, unfortunately. So they signed him in 2019. And unfortunately, with the pandemic, you know, when it hit in 2020, he got stuck in his apartment and really couldn't do much. He didn't go to the alt site. And he was basically relegated to his apartment and he gained a bunch of weight. And then when he came back, obviously that was concerning to the Angels, but he shed the weight. And the following year he came back and he had a really, and I mean really good first professional season of rookie ball. Dominated, oh, I shouldn't say dominated, but he looked really good at the rookie site. He's not a power hitter. He batted .317 with an OBP of .384 and a slug of .469. So, he had an .850 OPS. Strikeout rate was reasonable, 23.8, which is significantly less than a lot of the guys that we've talked about. But he also had a decent walk rate, too, of 7.3%. So there's lots to like here with that. You know, when he went up to A-ball, he did pretty good. He fared really well. It was very similar. His average was .280. His on-base went down a little bit, so on-base went down to .344. His slug went down tremendously as well, but not a bad showing for a kid that's this young and it's in his first taste of professional baseball in the States. Good defender. He's got good hands. He moves very fluidly. He has a very accurate arm. There's hope that he can stick at shortstop in the future. If not, he may end up as the Angels' second baseman, which is another area in Anaheim that, he's not necessarily blocked. If anything, he might be blocked by some of the other prospects in this system. It's said that he's a really good kid, solid work ethic, very good makeup, very good poise. And he's a really hard worker. So I think he's gonna suffer through some of the other things that tend to plague some of the young hitters. He's going to he's gonna chase pitches. He's got to learn to recognize spin and learn the strike zone a little bit better. But I think there's a lot of potential here, and they're also seeing that he's already got some really good solid gap to gap power. That they're hoping he can put on a little bit of weight and put on some muscle, and they're projecting him to get to 15 to 20 potentially home runs per season.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of upside here, and I agree with you. I think you know, this is a guy that I've targeted in several leagues. Really like what I see here with Arrovera, and you're right, the work ethic, it is so evident with what he's trying to do. You know, there's still some room for improvement. The power, you know, needs to come over a little bit more. But, you know, we saw some doubles, some gap-to-gap power from him. A little bit of speed, you know, good, you know, stolen base rate as well. So there's a lot to like here with Arrovera. And, you know, we see this time and time again, you know, these systems loading up on shortstops. And you're right. I mean, the amount of times that they actually do pan out and make the majors as a shortstop is usually pretty low. From that shortstop position, you can move him almost anywhere inside the diamond. You can move him to the outfield. Makes it very, very flexible. And I like seeing that in Arrovera. Dave, moving on to your next prospect that you do have here, it's Jordan Adams, an outfielder, 22 years old, 6'2", 180 pounds. He was taken in the first round of the 2018 draft with the 17th overall pick by the Angels. What can you tell me about Jordan Adams?
Jordan Adams. Well, this, I guess, is a very, to Angel fans and to, you know, folks that are taking a look at the Angels system and, you know, trying to figure out what to do. This is a very polarizing prospect. This is a prospect that when he was drafted and when he first came on the scene professionally, was very hyped and very, he was supposed to be, you know, the next great thing. Unfortunately, I mean, you know, a lot of lists and a lot of people, you know, would have him ranked, or he previously had him ranked much higher on these lists, you know, second or third on these lists. But Adams has been taking a slide backwards, at least at the plate. You know, he's got all the talent in the world. He's probably the best athlete in this entire farm system of the Angels. He's got a, you know, tremendously strong athletic physique. He's probably the fastest runner in the minor leagues, if not one of the fastest runners. But he just has yet to put it together. And if anything, if you look at his numbers, you know, he's been sliding backwards. I'm sorry to, you know, be the Debbie Downer and the poo-poo party on Jordan Adams. However, it's, you know, things need to change or else he's going to be a very hyped prospect that never made it. Extremely long swing, an extremely excessive 38% K rate. You know, he's shown a lot of flashes to me. I think Jordan Adams, I think a lot of it is mental, because he's shown flashes of really being able to shorten up his swing and tap into his athleticism. You know, good things happen for him when he shortens his swing. When he makes contact, good things happen. I mean, it's like that with anybody in baseball, and it's even more pronounced when you have a guy like Adams that can run like the wind. I mean, the guy's a gazelle. So if he makes contact, you know, he has a better than average chance of getting on base, even if it's just a single. He does a couple of things that are working in his favor. He does have a pretty good eye. He's got an 11% walk rate so far in his minor league career. That's really good. And you couple that with his 80 grade speed, and you know, there's an opportunity to be a force on the base pass and be a force offensively, but he's got to cut down those Ks and he's got to find a way to make contact in the field. I mean, he's going to play. I mean, the guy routinely makes highlight plays. I mean, the guy gets to, you know, out in center field, he gets to balls that, you know, other center fielders are just simply not going to get to. So, I mean, he's really exciting to watch. He's really exciting to watch out in the field. He gets just great reads and routinely makes Sports Center, you know, top 10 plays.
Yeah, I mean, the defensive skills there is absolutely fantastic. And this year was just, I mean, it was kind of a shock. I mean, all the numbers across the board, average, OBP, you know, it all just wasn't there. And I'm not quite sure why that necessarily was the case for him. And we're all hoping that he does bounce back, because you're right. I mean, he could literally be, you know, a polarizing player. I mean, kind of similar to how Joe Adele has been, you know, to this point in the major league. So I like what you're saying here. I think if anything, this might be a very good buy low opportunity, because he is an athlete, you know, across the board. It's just a matter of how much you're going to be willing to pay for, you know, a prospect like this. And it can be, you know, it kind of be, it could be a toss up is basically what it's kind of seeming like to me. So I do like this spot for him here. We're going to move on to your next prospect here. And I'm very excited to hear what you have to say about this, because this is one of the guys to me that kind of stood out in the system as a guy that's a great target in a lot of these different leagues. And that's Davis Daniel, a right-handed pitcher, 24 years old, 6'1", 190 pounds. He was taken in the 7th round of the 2019 draft by the Angels with the 211th pick. Talk about deep diving. Let's go, Dave. What can you tell me about Mr. Davis Daniel?
So Davis Daniel, or Daniel Davis, you know, the guy, the man with two first names.
Yes.
Yeah, so he... Let's just say that he finally got his chance last year, and he didn't disappoint. I mean, he's definitely older at this point. He's 24. However, you know, he went to college. He went to the University of Auburn. He pitched in Auburn, and then once, you know, in his 2019 season in Auburn, after two games, he unfortunately had to have Tommy John surgery. So 2021, he finally got his chance professionally. The Angels still took a chance on him. They drafted him, and 2021 was his year. He started the year at High A Tri-City, and he looked really damn good at Tri-City. I mean, the guy definitely held his own for his first taste of professional baseball. And he, 46 innings. You know, he had an ERA of 2.31%. He struck out 12 batters per nine innings. The walks were a little high, you know, 3.86, and that also troubled him a little bit in college. Home runs were under control, but really looked good at High A. So much so that they promoted him to Double A mid season. Double A just kept right on ticking. 12.6 Ks per nine. The home runs stayed consistent. He got his walk rate under control, which was really refreshing to see. And had a great run at Double A. The Angels gave him a crack at Triple A. Needless to say, Triple A didn't go nearly as well. But let's face it. I mean, the guy came out of college, didn't pitch for basically a season and a half. And really, he went from High A all the way to Triple A in the same season. I would call his 2021 season, regardless of what happened at Triple A, I would call it an overwhelming success and something that the Angels can definitely get excited about. This is probably the one player on my list that is going to see Anaheim in 2022. And I think there's a lot to like here. He's not overpowering. His fastball is only tops out at 93 miles an hour, but it's got really good spin rates, and he's able to locate it up in the zone. He gets a lot of swings and misses with the high fastball, and he has a solid curveball that keeps batters, you know, off the, you know, keeps them guessing. He's had some issues with walks, but so far in the major leagues, he's done pretty damn good with it. And I'll chalk up his kind of spotty performance in Triple A to just, you know, it's basically like he went from college to Triple A in 6 months. So I'm really excited about it. He's going to start the year at Triple A Salt Lake City. And I would not be surprised if by July he's up, you know, with some injuries in Anaheim, he's up there, you know, getting a spot start or two for the Angels. And, we could see him in the we will see him in the major leagues in 2022.
I think it's great to be able to see the adjustment in season, you know, with these walks. You mentioned this in here, the 20 walks, you know, at high A, he gets up to double A. Basically, he actually pitched more in double A, had less than half. He cut him in less than half. I mean, that's amazing. That's good. That's what you want to see. And that was all in one season. That's just little adjustments, little tweaks that are here and there. And all of a sudden, he's set up. And even whenever he did get to AAA, and yes, the results might not be all that great, but in 21 innings, he only walked 6 batters there too. So it means that what he was working on really did carry over, which is a good sight to see. You know, and whenever you're looking at what he was able to do in high A and double A, which we're going to really kind of look at those with a fine tooth comb, because that's, I think that his arm was tired by the end of the year. You got to think at that point, you know, he is well over 95 innings at that point. So, you know, you take into account that he had a 163 average against. People just weren't hitting him in high A. His stuff was that good. Goes to double A. Once again, pitched a little bit more in double A, a 222 average against. That's what you want to see. That's keeping the ball, you know, in the yard. You're keeping the ball, you know, to a point where your defenders can pick you up and you're not giving up base hits. That's fantastic. And that is indicative as well of the walks coming down. So, you know, I think it's an overwhelming success, just like what you said there with Davis, Daniel. And I think that this is a fantastic target. I think in 2021, we saw so many different pitchers that seemingly came out of nowhere, right? Davis Daniel is another one of those. We saw Joey Estes. We saw Bryce Elder, even though Hunter Brakes called that a mile away. You know, Carson Ragsdale, you know, with the Giants, as well as Ryan Murphy. These are guys who were drafted late in these drafts, and they're coming out here just full force and making a real push to be able to be in these rotations. Davis Daniel's one of those, and I really, really like this call that you have on here, man. That was a fantastic placement for him. Moving on to your number 9 prospect that you have here. It's a Denzer Guzman, shortstop, 17 years old, 6'2", 180 pounds. He was signed in 2021 out of the Dominican Republic by the Angels. What can you tell me about Denzer Guzman?
So as I previously told you at the start of the pod, there's a lot of the talent in this system is several years away. So Denzer Guzman is another example of that. He's only 17 years old, just signed last year out of the great baseball factory of San Pedro de Macorís in the Dominican. Many successful, actually there's Hall of Famers that have come from San Pedro de Macorís. So it's been a baseball hotbed and they just absolutely love baseball down there. So, 17 years old, shortstop prospect. What makes me rate him so high and gets me excited about him is the skills of a 17 year old. And particular note, the skills that are very rare for Dominican born players. I mean, there's an old adage that you got to hit your way off the island. So a lot of the Dominican players, you know, have high strikeout rates, you know, high power, and they get, you know, they do some flashy things, but they're not very patient and they don't walk a lot and it's, you know, hit or miss. So one of the things this young man has, I like his swing. It's a very smooth swing, very minimal effort, small leg kick, which he uses, but at the same time, he's got for a 17 year old, he has an amazing feel for the zone. And what excites me is there's another, I think he's turning 23 this year, a guy in the major leagues that plays for the Nationals that has a pretty good feel for the zone too and has over a 500 OP, on-base percentage. You can probably guess that I'm talking about Juan Soto. Now, is this Juan Soto? Probably not. But one of the things, you know, when Juan Soto was coming up was he had an amazing eye for the zone. And I see that with Denzer Guzman. Where his hitting and his abilities take him, only time will tell, but the kid's only 17. So just the fact that he has that eye for the zone, he's got the very, very smooth, effortless swing. The potential's there. He's gonna grow still. He's already 6'2", 180 pounds. His body is going to get bigger. He's going to develop his man muscle. And I think that he's going to, you know, by packing on some weight, you're going to see the power tick up a little bit. He already flashes a really good arm and some very good hands and solid footwork. So, he's probably going to stick at shortstop, but at the same time, as the man muscle and, you know, comes on with his height, he probably profiles more as a third baseman in the future. Be exciting to see what happens with him. He's going to see his first bit of the United States professional baseball this coming year at the Rookie League Complex in Tempe. Again, young, lots of potential. And I would say if you're in some of your deeper leagues and, you know, like some of the 30-man teams that you and I play in, Rick, with the 70 to 75 minors, this is a guy that you can easily get on the on the waiver wire. Just stash him away and hold him for a couple of years, and let's see what happens. You might be surprised.
I agree with that. This is a great target to be able to have for some of these deeper dynasty leagues. You know, and like you said, the bat to ball skills. He has a great understanding of the strike zone. Like you said, good smooth swing. You like seeing that out of the younger talents that are here. And, you know, going to your number 10 prospect that you have on here, this is another one of these young talents that you see in the system. And quite frankly, this might be a really good gem for a lot of you guys that are out there. And that's Edgar Cuero. He is a catcher, 18 years old, 5'11", 170 pounds. He was taken in the or signed in 2021 in the international market. He's a switch hitter as well. Dave, what can you tell me about Edgar Cuero?
So, young, signed out of Cuba by the Angels, signed as a 17-year-old. And there's a lot to like here. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of catchers, as are most people in the fantasy baseball world. You know, we all, you know, poo-poo on catchers. However, he's a switch hitter. He's got a really good approach at the plate. And so far, his OBP, I mean, he had a 405 OBP last year in his first season of pro ball. So there's a lot to like there. You know, there's an awful lot to like there. Just like with any other young player, he needs to work on his recognition of off speed and breaking pitches. But he really showed some impressive plate discipline to the tune of that 405 OBP. Another thing too with him is his exit velocity. You know, he had, you know, his average exit velocity was 88 miles per hour for an 18-year-old kid, first taste of pro ball. That's pretty damn good. It means he probably had a few that he barreled up over 100, and he probably had a few that, you know, he barely made contact with. But, you know, he's 18 years old and he's learning. Another thing is, you know, he's received very high grades for his catching so far. There's talk that he's been able to work really well with the pitchers that he's worked with. He's had good communication and good game calling with the pitchers. He's got a solid arm, and he's really, they're looking at him potentially as the catcher of the future. And in Anaheim, there's not a whole lot to, you know, currently on the major league roster that's gonna block his path. So again, this is another one that you got to look at. You know, he's 18. He's probably minimum of 4 years away from seeing Anaheim. Three, if he really develops. But someone that you can get for nothing, or pick up on the waiver wire and stash away in some of your deeper leagues, and you might be surprised at what he develops into.
I like that. I like that a lot. Dave, we're going to review over here. You've done a fantastic job on this write-up. Going back to your number one, it was Sam Bachman. Number two was Kyrene Paris. Number three was Jeremiah Jackson. Four was Kai Bush. Five was Alexander Ramirez. Number six was Errol Vera. Number seven, Jordan Adams. Number eight, Davis Daniel. Nine was Denzer Guzman. and number 10 was Edgar Cuero. And Dave, here at the Weekly Streamer, as you know, in the Prospect Pod, whenever we do these write-ups, we do tend to try to find out who would be two risers that you think could either do one of two things. One, be able to crack the top 10 this time next year whenever we do these write-ups, or two, be able to make an effect at the major league level in the coming season. Dave, who are you two risers for the Los Angeles Angels?
So thanks, Rick. My number one is going to be Robinson Pena. Right-handed pitcher. He's going to pitch this year Double A at the, one of my favorite names of minor league baseball teams, the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Yes. Best name in minor league baseball. Come at me.
Absolutely. So he's gonna pitch in Rocket City this year. 23 years old. He's got the definitely a prototypical pitcher's frame. He's 6'4", 180 pounds. Could definitely maybe put on a few pounds of muscle, but he's already coming at you with a fastball that comes at you on average at about 93 miles an hour with some really good spin rates. He has a plus curveball, and he balances out with a split fastball. They can slow things down, change up speeds, and just be another effective off-speed pitch for him. In 2019, he broke out with a 12.2% K rate. The walk rate's been a little bit high for him at 4.65%. But again, this is a pitcher that I think, he's a little bit on the older side for a prospect, but he's projectable. And I think that he can, I see something here, and I'm not telling you he's going to be great, but I think that, he has the potential and he's got the floor of a pretty good reliever and the ceiling of a back end useful starter in some of the deeper leagues.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. One of the guys I did want to try to bring up on here, kind of had a really rough year, but Jack Gochanowicz is one that Hunter Rakes and myself is, pretty high on. I mean, I'm going to quote Matty Ballgame here with this, and hopefully he won't be too upset, but you can't teach 6'6", is what he says. Well, it's with a really big beard, but you can't teach 6'6". Jack Gochanowicz, he's got an electric fastball, a good curveball, developing a changeup. He was a high school talent, back whenever he was drafted out of 2019 in the third round. Just a rough year. He logged in some innings, which was great. And, I think that there's some upside to be had here, but he's got to really kind of hone in on, not walking as many batters, trying not to give up as much soft contact as he has. You're really kind of hoping for a little bit more strikeouts there, but I want to keep my eye on him for the 2022 season. But Dave, final thoughts on this system before we wrap this up, and you can put this behind you, sir.
I got one more that I want to present to you as far as another potential riser. That's Landon Marceau. Or Marceau, I guess I got to get my French wee-wee. Landon Marceau. 22 years old. 6 foot, 179, a little on the shorter side for a pitcher. But one of the things I really like about him is when you talk about pitching, you talk about the ability to execute. You talk about the ability to throw pitches and execute your pitch. Make the pitch that you want to make, put it in the location that you want to make it. Have a smooth, repeatable delivery. And that's Landon Marceau. He's not the flashiest guy. I mean, his fastball sits 90 to 92. It can get up to 94 if he needs it to. But he's got a great curveball that he's able to control really well. It's a darting curveball. And between the two, he keeps you off balance. He also has a pretty good changeup and a pretty good slider as well. And like I said, one of the keys to pitching is just the ability to locate your pitches and do what you want to do with that ball when you throw it. Another thing that he does really well, and I'm not going to say, I guess I'm going to use this term because I learned it from researching another pitcher. But Trevor Bauer talks about tunneling pitches, and you know, and having the ability to, you know, throw different pitches, but have it look like it's coming to you, and you don't know what it's going to be. You know, it's coming at you, and all of a sudden, you know, it becomes a curveball and it darts, or it becomes a slider and it cuts away. So he's really good at that, and again, just a very good executor. He's not flashy by any means, but he's going to keep you in ball games. And I really think that he has a good chance to become a back end rotation starter in the big leagues. What kind of value you place on that is completely up to you. Depends on the league. But you know, you never know. I mean, he's still young enough, and you know, he can still put on some muscle, and he might see an uptick in that fastball that could potentially, you know, see his stuff uptick even more. But what I like the most about it is just the fact that he's able to just repeat the delivery and execute at a very high level at all times.
I really like that breakdown. That was a good add-on to be able to wrap this Los Angeles Angels podcast up, Dave. Way to go, sir. You did a fantastic job on this write-up. Definitely appreciate all the work that you do there, and appreciate all the work that everybody that does work with us here on the Weekly Streamer, on the Facebook page, Patreon. Once again, if you get a chance, go check out our Patreon page. You can see the full write-up by Dodger Dave Dutton on the Los Angeles Angels farm system. $5 a month, you'll be able to see that, as well as get all the amazing content that we have, including our Discord channel. If you ever want to talk to the Biscuit, which who don't, right? You can go and talk to him there all the time, anytime. He's always talking, right? I think he is. Anyway, he's probably talking right now. But for us, we're going to stop talking. We're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. We hope you have yourselves a great baseball week.